This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
She's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend. I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Woody, we have a situation.
I am not a toy. I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash.
Buzz, we've got to get Forky.
Affirmative.
Why am I alive? You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I am coming!
On my way, Woody!
To infinity and beyond!
Don't let Woody leave. Kids lose their toys every day.
I was made to help a child. I don't remember it being this hard.
Woody, somebody's whispering in your ear.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of Pop Goes the Movies here on the PTBN Pop Feed. I am Andy Atherton, and tonight I am being joined by Miss Miranda Berthold of Geek and Sassy. Miranda, how are you tonight, my dear?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
I'm good.
Did you have a great fourth?
I did. It was a busy day of barbecues and fireworks and the like. How about you?
I went to Jenna's house, and her and I walked away with some bumps and bruises because we decided if the children were not going to use the inflatable water slide that she had purchased, because it was her son's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fourth baby. And the kids, like, spent an hour on it. I mean, that's a pretty good time, but it was still there. So we decided we were going to use the inflatable water slide.
What the hell? Shout out to Ethan. Happy birthday, Ethan.
Yeah.
10 years old. Ethan. Awesome. I saw something. Jenny posted something in one of our chats, and I was like, looking geek and sassy, having a great time down there.
Yeah, she showed the boomerang our friend took. Yeah, our friend likes to do boomerangs.
That's what those are called? Boomerangs. See how old
I
am?
Boomerangs, because you know how they shoot it, but it shoots it back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some scrapes and bruises that were obtained. But we had a good time. It was fun.
Awesome. So we are here tonight to talk about a movie that gives you all the feels, I think.
Yeah,
lots of feels. A movie we thought we were never going to see. I never thought that was going to happen because the last installment was such a, what most of us thought was a great ending.
Right. You're kind of like, why is it needed?
Yeah. So we are talking about none other than Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
The latest Pixar Disney release with starring, of course, Tom Hanks as Woody, Tim Allen as Buzz Lightyear, Annie Potts returns as Bo Peep. And introducing Forky, voiced by Tony Hale. And then we have, of course, Gabby, who's a little freaky, with Christina Hendricks. Key and Peele show up in this one as Ducky and Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Keanu Reeves as Duke Kaboom. Yes, and lots of other...
Great addition.
And then, of course, Jesse, voiced by John Cusack, Dolly, Bonnie Hunt, and Trixie. I love Trixie, by the way. I love Kristen Schaal. She's just, like... So adorable, I think. I think she'd be like a geek and sassy girl, I think.
Oh, I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've said this before, but Annie Potts, when you go on her, like, IMDb and stuff, it always says she's from Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
She's actually not. She's from my tiny little hometown, actually.
Oh.
She was from the little outskirts of my tiny little hometown, so yeah.
That's very nice. I love her so much.
She's so great.
Great in Ghostbusters. She's great as Meemaw. On Young Sheldon. I don't know if anybody watches that show.
Yes, she's fantastic on that.
You know, and then not so long later, she turns into June Squibb. She aged kind of fast. It's kind of like in the X-Men movies where it was like, he's James, Professor X is James McAvoy, and 8 years later, he's Patrick Stewart. What the hell happened in those 8 years?
Well, it's rumored she's going to be in the next Ghostbusters, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Ah, with Paul Rudd just signed up to be in that one, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 2020 is what they're currently calling it. I don't know if that's the official title, but she's rumored to be in it. So
written by and directed by Jason Reitman, who I love most of his movies. Like Up in the Air is still one of my favorite movies of all time. So let's talk about it. So let's just really go into the Toy Story franchise first before we get to this one. So you know, you're a little bit younger than I am. So did you see the first Toy Story in the theater? You remember seeing
it? I'm trying to remember what year would have that been.
That was 95, I believe.
95. I want to say yes. Mm-hmm. We didn't go to the movies often. Movies were a treat kind of deal. But I remember going to them with my grandmother. I want to say I did see it in the theater with my cousins. I feel like I really did.
I went with a bunch of my friends in college. We were just... I don't remember what time of year it came out, so I either had just graduated.
I don't remember.
You know what? We can actually probably find that out. Like, through the wonders of the interweb, we could find that out quickly. Here we go, Toy Story.
I will say, I do remember, while you're looking that up, that it was one of the first few like DVDs that like we bought, if I'm not mistaken.
So November 22nd, 1995. The first Toy Story came out. So, yeah, I had graduated college already.
You know, it's funny. We've mentioned this before, and I, like, won't go too in-depth of it, but it's so funny when we're doing pods and we're talking about sequels, specifically, because this is where it's come up. Like, and you and a few of the others giggle, and you're like, because I'm not young, but when we talk about what we were doing in 1995, like, how old we were, when you look at it now as adults, the age difference that we have, like, really doesn't seem to matter whatsoever.
No.
But then, like, what we were doing in 95 versus, like, what I was doing and you were doing and how that movie would have affected us are obviously two very different experiences. So I do think that's kind of interesting, grading all these sequels, like, how it plays.
I think I remember going to a bar after seeing Toy Story, so...
I would not have been going to a bar.
I don't think you're doing that, so...
I would have been 10. Yeah. Almost 11. I would have been 10, almost 11. And that would have been a big deal when you're a girl, that you're almost 11.
Yeah, I was 23. I graduated college earlier that year when I was 22. And then, I remember seeing it. And I remember going home afterwards and telling my father, you know, I'm like, my father's big into it. My father worked on Wall Street for years. You know, he went on to... you know, have his own Allstate agency, but he's still, you know, big into the stock market. And I came home and I said, "Dad, I have a stock tip for you." He goes, "What?" I said, "You have to invest in this company called Pixar. This is the future of movies. This animated, computer animated movie, that's going to be the way movies go."
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And it's the only time
he did that was smart. Then
he did. He did. He invested not that much because, you know, his idiot son came home and gave him a stock tip, but. You know, he did.
Yeah, but you know, it didn't take much at the time. Yeah. Like, I remember my grandparents bought stock in Disney, like, in the, I don't know, the 70s. Mm-hmm. It was, like, super cheap, and it's done well.
Oh, yeah, there are lots of stocks, you know, that have, you know, down times and all that stuff. But, you know, it was so funny, too, because we're sitting there, and I have two best friends, and my one best friend, I'm sitting there watching a movie, and all of a sudden I just turn, and I'm like, oh, my God, Buzz Lightyear is Scott. Like, I have a friend that talks just like him. He will look at you going, they're a titanium alloy, and I can fly, kind of thing.
Let's see, Full House, or not Full House, oh my goodness, Home Improvement would have been on at this time, correct?
Yeah, I think it was.
So it would have been in the heyday of him being on.
Oh, yeah, Tim Allen was huge at the time. Let's see. Home Improvement ran from 91 to 99. Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is right in the middle of Tim the Toolman.
So, like, Toy Story 1 and 2 came out during his time of doing Home Improvement. So,
Tim Allen, was so hot at the time.
He was. He was really good.
You know, Tom Hanks was starting his, I think he was just starting his Oscar run. Really? Right around that time?
That's right. Because we hadn't had Wilson or anything like that yet, you know, so...
Yeah, so
that would have been later, much later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and this was the first Disney Pixar franchise, correct?
Yes.
Am I correct on that? Okay, yeah. Because we'd never really. I remember as a kid thinking, like, "What is this?" Like, suddenly your cartoon looked entirely different from anything you had ever seen before. Mm-hmm. It was very visually pleasing, very funny. a lot of jokes that went over. It was a good amount of jokes that went over children's head, but yeah. that adults loved. This was kind of paving the way for, like, let's see, the Finding Nemo and the Shrek, and mm-hmm. even though Shrek's not Disney, but like all of those, you know, more CGI where there's more jokes for adults, but it, like, it doesn't take too far out of the way. It's not an adult movie. It kind of paved the way for all of those, really.
Yeah, it was. It's like, this is like the grandfather or the forefather, I guess, of all the modern mm-hmm. Computer animated movies. I remember it was, you know, the voice cast too. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. the first appearance of John Ratzenberger, who's basically like the Pixar good luck charm. He's in every movie. Don Rickles.
Oh, yeah.
Don Rickles is Mr. Potato Head.
Don Rickles, right?
I grew up, my dad was a huge Don Rickles guy. And he, I remember when he goes, "What are you looking at, you hockey puck?" Now, nobody under the age of like 40 would get that joke at the time, probably.
But I remember people laughing.
Yeah. People I laughed like because yeah. my father would have the tapes on when I was a kid, and it was like a joke with like me and like some of my cousins or whatever. We call each other hockey pucks because of what we mm-hmm. saw. So then he goes, "What are you looking at, you hockey puck?" I was like, "Oh my God, that was what Rickles used to call everybody because they're stupid."
He did.
But, you know, and then also we had, oh my God, Wallace Shawn as Rex.
Wallace Shawn, oh my God, yes.
You know, I don't like confrontations.
Oh, his voice is just, oh, I love that man's voice. He's the best.
Mm-hmm. And then we had the second one come out, which, you know, originally was supposed to be direct to video. And,
right.
And,
which is
know,
a big thing then.
Yeah. And, but, you know, let's take his indiscretions out of it for him. We were right. talking about John Lasseter.
Who well, that's why he only directed the first two.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he, we're not going to talk about why he's no longer with the Disney company, but
right.
he had the foresight, though, to like look at it. And basically, they were like 2/3 of the way done or something like that. And he scrapped it.
I think so.
And said, "And no, we gotta and convince the Disney powers that be to do a theatrical release and redo the movie with
right.
very little time for an animated. It was a very small window they had to do it. And I think the original story was I heard was Buzz Lightyear was going to be recalled to Japan, and
right.
the toys were supposed to go after him, and they ended up almost going to Japan because that's where." Woody and Prospector and Jesse and Bullseye were going to be sold to a museum. But did you see the story that came out last week, the Me Too story about Toy Story 2?
I did not, actually.
So lots of Pixar movies have outtakes, right? And they're hysterical.
Right, they do. They're really funny because they've added them in before.
Yeah. So there's one of the outtakes is Prospector's in his... Stinky Pete is in his box, and you yes. hear, "So you're twins? Are you identical?" And it's like two Barbie dolls in there, and he's like,
oh, yeah.
kind of like gets caught. So Disney announced that that scene has been removed for all future releases,
really,
and stuff. Yeah, so I mean, I have it on my DVDs and Blu-rays. Yeah,
we'll have that. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So yeah, it's very not Me Too. It's very casting couch.
Okay, I mean, I guess I can understand that. I have some. Okay, I'll let that one be. But I don't know. I have thoughts on both sides. I totally understand the, you know, not making that kind of culture okay. But I think it goes back to the even though it's wrong, different time.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, you could say about
lots
of stuff.
I know a lot of people disagree with me when I say that, but I know.
Well, you got to look at the context of the times. That doesn't make it right.
No, again.
But it was not acceptable. It was you know, wasn't, I don't know, like the crows in Dumbo
yeah.
and stuff like that. You know,
they never made it acceptable. But at this point, it is in there, and it is a teaching tool. I think to be like, look, at one time, people thought all of this was okay, and you know, it's not. That kind, I get that kind of sort of ordeal. It's never okay. It's never okay, but it's there, you know, mm-hmm. like, let's not try to pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Basically, I guess is what I'm going with.
So, anyway, about Toy Story 2. So that's the introduction of Jesse and,
yeah.
You know, that
characters.
Mm-hmm, Jesse and Bullseye. Great. And Zurg becomes more of a character in that movie too. I love the, you know, the toy store stuff. And that was really, I mean, as you look at the Toy Story movies, you know, you can see how much the technology grows. Because in the, you know, the first one, we barely see any humans, any people. Second one, that's when we see the toy collector voiced by Wayne Knight. You know, the whole thing with the dust from the Cheetos and all that stuff.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That was so incredible.
Because you're right, we didn't see, well, I mean, Andy's face may, or, yeah, Andy's face may have been in there. But, like, Mom, you never really saw Mom's face or.
Molly was a baby.
Molly was a little baby, because Andy was an only child when they do Toy Story 1, you know, yeah. Or, you know, they're going through stuff. And then, so, yeah, you're right. I think as we've progressed, we've seen more human faces, not just the toys in the movie. You've always heard the voices. They've never been like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 but.
Yeah,
you're right. I never thought about that till now. But yeah.
And then they also they get the dog, the puppy at the end, and it's so funny when Toy Story 3 comes around, it's an old dog. <You know>? And one character I do miss, and he was in, I believe he was in the second one too, was Wheezy, voiced by Joe Raft. I don't know if you know the story.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you know the story of Joe Raft at all.
I know. He was, briefly who he is.
Yeah, he was part of the brain trust of Pixar for a long time.
Okay.
He was like, you know the names like John Lasseter, Pete Docter,
right.
Andrew Stanton. Well, Joe Raft was the fourth in that, okay. that group. And unfortunately, you know, he passes away in 2005. In a car accident, I believe it was like either a dark night or a wet night or something. And he was on the Pacific Coast Highway, and he, you know, his car went off. He also voiced Heimlich, the caterpillar, and Bug's Life and stuff like that. So yeah, Wheezy was a great character. You know, with his squeaker getting stuck. And all that. Mm-hmm. It was very sad to see that. You know, it's sad too that. You know, if you go back and you look, I mean, it's just how life is when there's, you know, was it 20? Oh God, I'm doing math in my head right now. 24 years since the first installment,
and that many characters.
How many people we've lost? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Arlie Ermey, who voiced the Army Sergeant.
Oh yeah.
We just lost Rickles. We lost Estelle Harris, I believe she mm-hmm. passed away. She was Mrs. Potato Head. Jim Varney, the original Slinky Dog voice.
Oh, such a great man! Such a great man.
Yeah, I actually heard some great stories about him as Ernest when he would go to hospitals and visit children as Ernest P. Worrell.
He was a personal friend of my mother's.
Oh!
My mom knew him personally. He's another one that nobody realized it, but he lived right there with very, very close to my little hometown, too. Mm-hmm. Very nice, very smart, very nice, very giving and caring man.
And then, that's great. And then back to Toy Story 3. So that's kind of what led us to where we are now.
Right.
You know, that's where, you know, Andy comes back. And that was, I believe it was 2010?
10, yeah. Yes. Like, we did one, and mm-hmm. they could have never made another one. You kind of hoped they would. Two was okay. Two was great. Introduced some good new characters. Mm-hmm. But you never thought 3 would ever happen. And you're like, well, if they don't do 3, it's fine. No big deal. But then they did. And I think everyone had so many emotions and snot and, you know, Kleenex. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my son Dylan's first movie in the theater.
Oh, wow.
And I remember the scene at the garbage that when they're going, oh, my God. Well, I'm fast forwarding to the end of the movie. But while they're going down that heap towards the incinerator and they kind of like all accept their fate and grab mm-hmm. I was like this. I was like a wreck inside. And I have this like little boy who's you know, kind of does have sensory and ADHD. And it was his first time in his big theater. I'm like sitting there like, oh, my God, what's going to happen with him? He's going to like, because it's a little scary, too. I mean, you know, Jessica.
It is.
I don't know how Jessica was. Jessica was, she was 2010, so she was about 8 at the time when that one came out. So she was okay. I mean, her first movie was Shrek 2, I think. So, but
those good movies.
But yeah, so Toy Story 3, you know, the introduction of a great villain, you know, Lotso Huggin' Bear, and you know, I wouldn't. You know, I said to my kids afterwards, I'm like, never trust anybody that smells like strawberries.
And there's no Bo Peep.
No, and I'm glad they explained kind of where Bo Peep went.
Right.
In this movie. But, yeah, Michael Keaton joins the cast, actually, as the voice of Ken. And, you know, so we meet Bonnie and all Bonnie's toys. And like I was talking earlier, Kristen Schaal joins as Trixie and Bonnie Hunt as Dolly. So I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, I the whole thing at the daycare and Andy kind of like, you know, having to, you know, give it away. And the whole thing with Buzz.
And again, seeing faces, you start, like you said, you're starting to see more faces. So Andy's grown up, you see his face, you meet Bonnie, you see her face, I think we see Mom, and they kind of allude to, did they do it in two or three, that they allude to Jesse's first owner was Andy's mom?
Yeah, that's what they, that's what they say.
There's so
many theories out there about all the Pixar movies, all how intertwined they may be, you know.
Well, they leave, and I'll talk about this later when we get more into four, but they leave Easter eggs of each one inside the other one. And the whole reason Toy Story ever even happened was a short that John Lasseter actually did called 10 Toys. So, I mean, that is the whole reason why Toy Story even became a thing.
Yeah, but there's a theory out there. I think I read that, that what was the girl from Inside Out? What was her name? That that's,
oh my goodness, that she, Riley?
Was it Riley? Riley, that Riley is Andy's mom.
I had read some, you know, I had read that, but if you read them all together and you put them all, it they actually make sense, and you're like, and then like your feels just go even more because it makes more sense.
And then so I thought it was a great melding of all this, this of these things, and then also, you know, and then you talk about the offshoots like Toy Story that. Time Forgotten and the Toy Story Christmas special, right? They have a they have the Toy Story of Terror, and they also have the so lots they you know it's been a great franchise leading up up to now, and we thought we had we were done with it, and then we heard the reports, and this was actually supposed to come out last year, and Incredible 2 was supposed to come out this year, but I forget the reason why they switched them.
I don't remember the reasoning either, and I remember there being a lot of ridicule. People felt like maybe Incredibles 2 needed more time, and vice versa, and I don't know. I don't know the reasoning, but I feel like it actually worked out, in my opinion.
All right. So going into this movie, you know, what were your expectations kind of going in?
So... I kept them pretty low because, like you said, didn't realize that after three, there was much more that you could do. I mean, we all know that Bonnie grows up, but, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really think of it going forward after that. I thought they closed three out in a way that emotionally it hit the ones of us that had seen it, you know, in before we had kids. And then I thought it was a good way to introduce and close out at the same time for our children. So honestly, I never had thoughts of a four happening. And then when I saw the original previews, they didn't give you much to go on, to be honest. So I was kind of like, okay, so we're just going to screw this up now. So expectations going into it, honestly, I'm kind of on the low side. I was thinking like maybe this movie didn't need to be made. And that's where I was before seeing it.
Ah, so just a sidebar. In our little summer movie wager, most of us had this at number three.
I thought it was fairly high.
Yeah. Actually, Jenny and Reesh have it at number two. And you, me, Russell, Scott, Tim, we all have it at number three. And then if we look for at the other participants, yeah, Greg and Jason had it at two. And Nick and Todd have it at number three. So, yeah, our expectations.
Where did you say Scott put it at?
Scott put it at three.
Okay, I'm surprised because you know he was like anti-cartoon.
Well, he thinks that he thought He thought his Avengers Endgame, and then Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, then Toy Story and Lion King and all that stuff.
Which, I mean, honestly, it makes complete rational sense. It's summer. It's Toy Story. It's Disney. It's Pixar. Like, you kind of can't go wrong with putting it towards the top. Yeah, I still stand
but,
by that.
But not me. But not underneath Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No.
I mean, you know.
I don't think I even put that on my list.
Yeah, it was one of my wild cards, that movie. But yeah, you can't go against animation or family movies when it comes to something like this.
Summer, you look at the time of the year and you look at all the factors. And sorry, I just
So back to Toy Story 4. Yeah. So you know, Bonnie, you know, it opens up with kind of Woody's kind of been pushed to the side a little bit, and right. I tell you, I had heard about this going in, but I love the little part with the old toys in there that were all voiced.
Oh, they're like, you got your first Death Bunny!
Yeah, yes. So we had Cheryl Burnett, voiced by Carol Burnett, Bitey White by Betty White, Carl Rhinoceros by Carl Reiner, and Melifant Brooks by Mel Brooks.
Melifant Brooks.
I mean, yes. I had such a smile on my face.
That was great.
That was some fun, really, really fun stuff there. Flea did a voice in the movie. I didn't even know that.
Oh, I guess I missed that somehow.
He was the Kaboom TV announcer. I'm like looking at the IMDb right now. So yeah, I love that part. So so are we gonna go generals and then we'll do spoilers after that, right?
Yeah, we can do that. So, right. What did you generally think of the movie? Like, overall, how did you feel about the movie?
I enjoyed it. Again, yeah, wasn't, you know, I don't know if necessary is the right word, but, you know, it wasn't like we were clamoring for it. It was like one of those, like, we didn't know we wanted it, but we really did. Mm-hmm. You know, we needed it or something. I don't know. It kind of, you know, in a nutshell, kind of closes one part of the Toy Story story, I guess, and it kind of opens up other possibilities, I guess, so to speak. But I thought it was, I mean, I really enjoyed it. There were a lot of feels, you know, a few times I started to like choke up a little bit, you know, and try to like, you know, not, you know.
Mine was at not at the spot I thought it would be, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, I mean, generally, I did enjoy the movie. I loved Forky coming in. I mean, I thought it was a story about parenting. Woody kind of represented the parent and kind of that how his arc in this movie, his what his goal was. Became
like what he's always thought his purpose was. Yeah. Like he finally explains like what his purpose is, what he feels his purpose is.
Yeah, I thought the those ventriloquist dummies were friggin' creepy as hell.
Oh, like creepy as hell. Caden was calling. So we're really big Arl Stein fan, and so Caden was like, "Ah, Slappy," because they do. They look like Slappy the Dummy from, like, Arl Stein's book covers
from,
and stuff.
From Goosebumps, right?
Yeah, from Goosebumps, yeah. So Caden was like, ah, there's multiple Slappies. And the doll that they protect, the Gabby, that's obviously a reflection of Chatty Cathy. My mom had one of those. So, you know.
Ah, that's why I call my daughter sometimes when she doesn't be quiet. Chatty Cathy.
I've been called that a time or two. Surprise, surprise, Toy Story Nation.
No. So what did you feel when you, your general thoughts when you walked into this fine feature film?
I see what you're saying about they could start a second road of these. I'd prefer this be it. Like, as we get into spoiling it in a few moments, I feel like this is like complete closure. It was very fantastically done. It did speak to you on a parenting level because, like you said, Woody is, you know, as the parent. But it also showed you, I don't know, like Bonnie wasn't at the end of the day, she, yes, she's a happy-go-lucky kid, but she's not. Like, I don't know. I think it had, it played like so many emotions for parents and kids. It was a good closeout. And I think it also shows that, like, I'm trying to, how to cope.
Yes.
Like, it was a good, like, lesson. It had a lot of lessons in it. It was like coping and learning how to cope and how to grow up and move on and in a different way than we learned from Andy in 3. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different because Bonnie is growing up, but she's still a child. So growing, learning, caring, sharing. I sound like a Sesame Street episode of something, but it gave me everything I needed as someone that has been now following this franchise since 1995. Mm-hmm. And it definitely, even though I ranked it at 3, so everybody's going to be like, what do you mean it outlived your expectations? My ranking decision for our contest versus my expectations as like a moviegoer were two very different things. Mm-hmm. But I think it met both of those.
Oh, yeah.
Overall.
There's no, yeah. I mean, putting it 3 is not a slight to this movie. You know, everybody had Endgame 1. You had to be a fool not to. And then, you know, Lion King was a lot, most, everybody put a Toy Story 3 at Lion King at 2 because, you know, Lion King is yet to come out, but that's,
right.
That's just going to be a behemoth. You know, I'm sorry. As much as everybody loves.
No, I'm with you.
As much as everybody loves Toy Story, Lion King is just another. Pardon the pun.
Toy
but
Story
beast.
Is its own thing, its own fandom. Lion King, like I know everybody's like, Lion King is one movie. Like, no, there are fandom, like entire groups of people dedicated to. Yeah, and yeah, they made multiple movies, but I'm talking like just the Lion King 1. Like, yeah, there is such a huge cult following for that one movie, and it's another coming of age, growing up, learning. I don't know. I think they're really good at just putting lessons that you don't even realize you're learning as an adult, as a parent, as a non-parent, like into these movies that like just really ricochet it kind of to the top.
Yeah. I understand. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So any other general thoughts before we dive into spoilers?
Well, general thoughts, it looks, if this is accurate, the film currently has already grossed $650 million worldwide, becoming, wow, according to them, the 5th highest grossing film of 2019.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does translate internationally.
It does.
You know, because it's toys. Who doesn't play with toys?
Right, and the lessons are the same. The ideology that you're trying to get across is the same. Not hard to translate.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think it's time to move into spoilers, if you will.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to give everybody their warning. So if you haven't seen Toy Story 4 and you've been listening to us, do yourselves a favor. Pause it right where it is right now. Mm-hmm. Go see Toy Story 4 and then, you know, come back and listen to what we have to say.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we're going to talk spoilers for Toy Story 4 in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So, yeah. I mean, I loved, first off, I felt really bad for the father in this movie because they just used him so badly.
Oh my God, yes, at the end you're like, this poor guy.
I mean, Jeff Garland as the unicorn, he's just like, he's going to jail, let's get Dad arrested, let's get
my God. And I still would love to know like where that came from, but that was the most fucking hysterical thing ever. He's like, let's go to jail. Like, I don't know what that was about. I don't even remember what's gonna say now. I'm still laughing at that.
I mean, and that the way that the camper has stutters and all that stuff.
Oh my God, yes. So to get to all of that, though, we've kind of alluded, we kind of already told you. So at the beginning of the movie, we learn where Bo Peep has been.
Mm-hmm.
RC was kind of swept down a storm drain. So you get to see, and I thought that was really cool. They have the scene where it's showing all of them how they learned to work together as toys to save the other toys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like pouring down rain, RC, who I'd kind of forgotten about as well. And my son used to have the whole collection of these, but like they're saving RC from the storm drain. And it shows that Bo Peep is being given away because I think, and I even failed to remember this, Bo Peep is not Andy's.
No, he was Molly. She was Molly's.
Right. She was Molly's, and she was Molly's lamp. And that they explain where she came from, too. Like, you don't know until four. Like, you thought, like, oh, it was just a decoration in Molly's room. Like, no, she was, like, Molly's everything. Because Molly was terrified of the dark. And they bought her this Bo Peep and the three little sheep, which, who knew they had names, by the way?
Yes.
That was the funniest crap in the world. It shows you she's being taken off to a new home, which I was having a hard time with the timeline. So it was 9 years ago that happened. But then she said when he comes across her later, when he finds her, she's been in there. She's been on her own for 7 years. But then she says something about being in the store for two. I was like, what? Am I like getting something backwards here? So that part I was a little unclear on. But then after that is when, like you were telling everybody before, Woody is no longer big chief on campus, basically. And Bonnie has kind of moved on to other toys. And at first it's really endearing because she's got him sitting up on this chair. She's not really playing with him, but he's like on this chair in the corner of her room and he's watching her play, but he's still sitting there as sheriff.
Yeah.
And the dejection kind of comes when he takes the sheriff badge off of Woody and puts it on Jesse, and then he gets tossed in the closet with all the other dust bunnies and the really fun characters like that Mel Brooks and all of that voice. And that was the first start of you realizing that things are about to change.
Yeah, like, for all of them.
Right, for all of them.
And then,
honestly, because we knew Forky was coming, I thought it was just Forky, like, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, that scene, now everybody who's a parent has gone through that also, where you have to let them go, and like you have to just,
you do,
even when they're crying, they're screaming, you have got to walk away, and it breaks your heart when you hear daddy, daddy, and these little kids that don't know how to process that, you know, everything's going to be okay, you know. I mean, I went through it twice.
Right.
You know, I still go through it. I mean, I got a 17-year-old that I'm going to be dropping off at college in a little over a year. And it's going to be like, Daddy.
It's going to be different. And instead, she may be like, go, Dad, go. And you're going to be like,
no.
I do think in a lot of ways, and that's what I meant earlier, and until we got ready to spoil this, it's going to be hard to explain myself. But that's why there were lessons for everyone. Because at that moment, when, you know, Woody's being tossed to the side and everybody else is just going on, he's trying not to be upset, but to him, that's like his little girl is like, you know, she's moving on. She's got, what is it? She's going to kindergarten. Yes, it's kindergarten, right?
Yeah, she goes to kindergarten.
So, it's been 2 years after Andy's given her toys, so she's now going, she's starting school on her own. And so Woody is like looking at her as like this grown up, like we're sending her off to school. And I think he's panicking. Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh my God, what do you mean we're sending her off all day by herself? So that was a big, I'm with you. That was like a big moment, more for parents, I think, than the kids at that moment.
And I wanted to smack that one kid who came over. You know, there's Bonnie sitting by herself, and that one kid comes over.
Terrified.
I know. And she's like, oh, look, a friend. He's like, nope, I'm taking your shit.
He takes all her shit and just walks off.
I was like, that little fuck.
I will say I was super impressed with Disney Pixar. There's different little, if you notice things about each of the kids, one has a cochlear implant. They're like, they flash to different kids around the room. It's very diverse. One has a cochlear implant. They never say it, but Bonnie is obviously a little different, which they're all different. Like, I don't want to say that. And maybe being a mother to a child on the spectrum, you read into things too much. But I don't know. That whole classroom is very diverse. But yeah, that little kid, I was like, just punch him, Bonnie. Like,
I know. I was so mad at that kid.
Right. But you can't. But at that point, when Andy, sometimes I call Buzz Andy. Sorry. Like, you see Andy in him, which would make sense because he was Andy's toy for so many years. I'm sure he's learned things from him, you know, but when he like, cause he's basically stoned, he's been a stowaway cause he's like so upset about her going, kindergarten, and like mom and dad make it clear, like you can't take a toy. I mean, I'm sure you were the same way. Sure, you've been there. So we have Blanky. Like that's our thing. Like he's got a name and everything. So Blanky, it was a really big ordeal that like Blanky cannot go to school with you. Like Blanky cannot go in your backpack, ride with you in the car on the way to school. He'll be there as soon as we pick you up from school. But like kindergarten, like Blanky couldn't go with you. So like, while you wanted to be mad at those parents and be like, what does it hurt for her to have something in her? Like, you and I have both been there. So, like, you get it when mom and dad are like, no. And the kid, all their other toys are freaking out. You're going to get her in trouble. You can't go in her backpack. Like, freaking out.
You know the rule.
Right? They're probably thinking, you made the rule. But it's really endearing when Buzz jumps into, or God bless America, here I go again, I'm calling the wrong names. But Woody jumps into the trash can and he gets out all the stuff that the kid like threw away and tosses them on the table. Cause Bonnie thinks that someone did that, a friend, like she's looking around the room trying to figure out who left those for her. And because of that is the invention of Forky.
Yes. Who's like basically born. You know, he's like, right. All of a sudden he's like, trash, back. Trash, trash.
So what was your thoughts on Forky when he starts, like, all of this? Like, when you realize, when they're like, no, Bonnie made a new friend, and they're all like, aww. And when he's like, no, no, she made a new friend.
Yeah, it's a little freaky, like, you know, sending him toys and all that. You know, all of a sudden he, like, you know, he's alive and he just is obsessed with going into trash. He's like, I'm supposed to be for a soup or maybe a chili or maybe, you know.
He goes through this list of like things you can eat with his fork. Yes. Like tuna salad, soup. I don't know.
But
it seems like he gradually gets smarter. Okay, let me see if it was just me. Did he gradually get like smarter, you think? Like he gained more knowledge? Because you notice when he first talks, he's like, ooh, like, fork. Like he's not like doing anything, and he's like trash, 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 and then he starts like actually giving like I'm made for soup. Like he starts like talking more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a baby, you know. It's like they get
right.
You know, when they're like, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever, they get obsessed with something. It's like so hard to direct them away from something that they have their mind on. You know, they just get that. They set their sights on something, and it's like so hard to redirect them.
I laugh every time that fork jack jumped back in the trash can, and Woody would throw him back out, and he'd jump back in, he'd throw him back out. Like, seriously, that goes on for a good, well, it's probably really not 10 minutes. It feels like this happens for like 10 straight minutes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that becomes Woody's responsibility. You know, he feels like, you know, something happens to Forky, you know, Bonnie will be devastated.
Right.
You know, and then they end up, you know, at that traveling carnival, you know.
I'm going to be honest. When the parents first said road trip, because of the whole incident with Woody getting left in the closet, I was really afraid that Woody was going to get left in the closet for this road trip.
Yeah, so.
I'm not even going to lie. I did.
So a lot of the toys, though, you know, kind of like get underserviced. I mean, it's really Woody and Forky and Bo Peep's movie. I mean, you know, Buzz is really relegated to the background. Same with Jesse and Bullseye and the rest of them.
But Jesse and Bullseye, really, that number two is really about them.
Yeah.
Number one was really about Woods and apparently Woods. They have a love name now.
They're a couple name, Woods.
It was a couple name. Buddy, dear God, just talk for me, Andy. What the hell is going on with me? One was really about, kind of like, we had this discussion the other day on Geek and Sassy about how the different seasons of Stranger Things are really focused on different people. I feel like the different movies of Toy Story have really focused on different characters as well. 3 was really important that you brought those new ones in. 2 was really important that it was Jesse and Bullseye and Prospector. And 1, you know, it was introducing everybody, but it was showing you that Buzz and Woody were extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo Peep was important, but like all of those people, Ham and everybody, were more side characters in all of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the introduction of those, a big introduction in 3,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many characters to service. So, I mean, you know, they're not going to highlight everybody, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, It's still, it was like, you know, it's probably nostalgia on my part, like, mm-hmm. you know, wishing that they were more involved in the movie.
No, yeah, for sure. Like, Slinky, I would have loved to hear more from Slinky Dog and, you know, which, like you said, we've lost some voices between now and then. So I wonder if that was the
reason. They did replace Slinky.
Did they?
In the third one. Yeah, it was Blake Clark voiced Slinky in the third one. But, you know, it was, yeah, I mean, and then, but the new characters were great. I mean.
Oh, for sure.
You know, Key and Peele. You know, I love all their ideas that they would show. And they would.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like, okay, here's our idea. We're going to, how to get this back.
And it was always the, what is it they, do you remember what they called it?
Oh, jeez, trying to remember now.
That was like the funniest part to me is when every time they'd be so, they're trying to get this key because to like, long story short, like Forky, he's explaining to Forky, you matter. This is you. You know how you feel about trash. That's how she feels about you. And they're trying to, because Forky decided, like, peace out, bitches. I am a fork. Like, I'm a spork. I don't belong as a toy. And Woody goes to save him. So they make it to the carnival that you're talking about, the campground.
Yes.
And as Woody's trying to get him, because he's like, I know she's right there. Campground is right there. I'm gonna get you to Bonnie. Everything's gonna be great. They pass a creepy antique store where he realizes that's Bo's lamp. Now, she's mm-hmm. not on it, and the sheep aren't on it, which I finally remembered. Their names are Billy, Goat, and Gruff.
Yes, that's right.
So he's like, oh, my God, it's Bo. Like, it's Bo. Mm-hmm. And they come across some new friends in this antique store while he's trying to find Bo, and that's where we get Gabby, who... is very interested in Woody's voice box.
Yes. Yeah.
Very interested.
That was kind of taken out of those, like, you know, those rumors you hear about people, like, you know, waking up in a bathtub full of ice with their kidneys gone.
Like, missing a kidney? Yeah. That's exactly, I was like, what is going on here? And her creepy ventriloquist dummy dolls that we were telling, the Bensons, which I don't remember the name of the toy, but there was a toy about the same time as Chatty Cathy that it was like a ventriloquist looking doll like that, which is where the idea of Slappy came from, hence my son calling these things the Slappies. But they were creepy for sure.
Yeah, so I couldn't find what they called those things that Ducky and Bunny did, but
it was like the something shuffle.
Oh. Yeah, I think it was like the fluffy shuffle. But yeah,
these guys are hysterical. Essentially, they are carnival. They're stuck together. They're Duck and Bunny, right? Mm-hmm.
They're stuffed animal prizes. Yeah,
but they're stuffed animals. They're stuck together.
Mm-hmm. They are stuck together.
They're a carnival prize that clearly no one has won. Like, no one can win. I guess they're supposed to be like the big prize, which is kind of alluding to the fact that when you go to a carnival, you never win.
Yeah, pretty
much.
There's
like these kids trying super hard to win. And they are just hysterical, and they end up in on this like whole like, we gotta save Forky from Gabby, and you know, we gotta get everybody to Bonnie, and we're gonna get a kid, which is somehow no one ever told them that, I don't think. Or I think they just said, I know where there are kids, because they so badly want to be someone's toy. And so they're trying to get this key that unlocks the case that Gabby is in, where she has stolen Forky away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, how are we going to get this key? How are we going to get this key? And so these two that are stuck together keep giving them ideas, and they all come down to, they're just going to jump out and attack this old lady.
And a little lady.
A little lady, Chatty. There's even one where they go all the way home with her. They let her have a bath and a cup of wine.
Yes.
Like, that was the best one. And he was like dying laughing. He's like, they're in for the long game.
Yeah, later on, they do the whole thing where they become ginormous and scare the crap out of the carnival guy.
Everybody that looks at him and is like, you have laser eyes? He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? And you know, the whole thing is like, you know, Gabby, you know, is creepy, you know, and she kind of reminds you of the doll from Big Baby from Toy Story 3, but, you know, with those eyes and stuff, but, you know, you do get a little sympathy for her.
Oh, for sure, when you realize why.
She's obsessed with getting a voice box.
Mm-hmm. She was damaged from the beginning. Like, she's never had a kid. And,
yeah.
And she sees the store owner's granddaughter as, like, her way. Like, she's going to love her if her voice box worked.
Yeah, and you kind of sympathize with her a little bit. Like how she went about it. I mean, not in the best way, but you definitely do feel...
No, I think kidnapping is, and extortion and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are generally frowned upon.
Usually, yes.
So... Yeah, so they go to the carnival and you know, he gets reunited with Bo Peep. Now, I mean, I would have been, you know, and the fact that Bo Peep's camouflage vehicle is a skunk that she drives around during the day.
That
if you saw
is
that,
the best thing ever.
If you saw that during the day, I would be freaking out if I'm that car.
For sure. And her little friend Giggle mm-hmm. with Dimples, who is supposed to be like a play on Polly Pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then the Duke Kabooms, or the, yeah. No, the Combat Carls.
Oh, the Combat Carls were that poor one, like the one that always got left hanging.
Yeah, the Polar Combat Carl.
Polar Combat Carl.
Who gets it in the end, though. He does get his high five.
He does. He finally does.
Mm-hmm. But voiced by Carl Weathers, no less, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, you know, Combat Carl, you know, did not, good things did not happen to Combat Carl in the first movie.
No.
Because he got blown up by Sid.
Yeah, he was Sid's toy. Mm-hmm. Combat Carl was Sid's toy.
Not these specific Combat Carls, but yes.
No, right.
So,
although
yeah.
I could see them doing something like that.
Yeah.
Where they were like, I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're talking about Combat Carl and all these other toys live, like, essentially in a playground area at the Carnival RV park. Because they know they'll always be played with.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of sad. Do you know what maybe I'm overthinking this, but do you know what it was like to me? It was like when I know not everyone wants to put the people they love into a home, but like at a certain point in your life, you have to go to a home like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when they have special days where they're excited that a group of kids are coming to see them because like that's the first person they've seen in a year. Like that's what I equated it to. It was very like, happy, sad, happy, all at the same time.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, and then Woody, you know, and Bo Peep, you know, she's hardening to see how fast she can fix, like, her arm.
Oh, yeah, that did make you sad for Peep.
Yeah, she's out there the whole time and everything. And
falling apart, and she seems, she's hardened, she's grizzled. She's like, you don't need a kid, why do you have to have a kid? Look at all of this. And I mean, she does show him some amazing points, like basically like kind of like we were talking about earlier. Your kid grows up. You got to find out what to do after that. Like, you know?
Yeah. So we get towards the end of the movie, you know, and they get their plot, they get Forky out and, you know, Woody kind of has to make a decision. You know, what did you think was going to happen when they started coming up to that? Did you think Woody was going to leave all of them and go Bo Peep?
I thought that, honestly, I thought that he would convince Peep and Bunny and Chick to all kind of join him. And then there would be like, Duke would go back with them and, you know, that's where it was going.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of what happened in the last movie.
Right. So then I was like, nope, obviously that's not going to happen because then why would we have done this? And then Woody has to learn a lesson here. Like, if this is not about just Bonnie learning a lesson, but this is Woody learning a lesson. Again, growing up and being separated and taking a new path in life and that's what it was just time for Woody to do. But that's honestly where I thought I would get super upset, and I didn't. I got upset before then.
Oh, okay.
When Gabby finds a home.
Yes, oh, God. When that little girl takes her. Oh.
I cried so hard when that little girl there is lost, and then it pans, and the parents are lost, too,
mm-hmm.
or, like, are upset, distraught, too, and, like, that's honestly when I lost.
Yeah, because that is terrifying when you can't find your kid when they're that small.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you're just freaking out.
Yeah, been there. No. So that's when I lost it. It was a happy ending, and you knew it's going to have a happy ending, but, like, that was the rough one for me.
Yes, and then, so Woody, yeah, I did get teared up when Woody decides to, you know, stay with Bo Peep and Ducky and Bunny and all them and just move around at the carnival and stuff like that, you know, because I think Woody's, you know, job was done. You know, the writing was on the wall for Woody. I mean, Bonnie wasn't really playing with him as much, you know.
And but Bonnie was going to be okay without him.
Yeah.
Was he going to be okay without Bonnie?
Mm-hmm. And Forky was going to be okay without him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what else?
He's gotten Forky to understand mm-hmm. what his purpose was. And at some point, Forky's not going to have a purpose anymore because he is just a spork. Yes. But he's gotten him to understand it for now.
You know what, though, is funny is that Forky could have more longevity than most of the other toys, because that's one of those things, you know, I still find things that my kids did when they were little. And, like, I'm going to hold on to that over some toy that they stopped playing with.
And it'd be easier to put back together than a toy, too, because, like, mm-hmm. he's literally, like, some popsicle sticks. And so you got to give him a new popsicle stick piece or, like, mm-hmm. you know, his arms kept sliding down and they would have to, like, twist them and put them back.
Yes.
So, I mean, things like that.
And then we had, and then at the end, and it was in the post credits, it was a Knifey, whatever she showed.
Yeah, she makes Knifey, which is
a plastic.
Porky's just like, whoa!
Oh, boing!
Like, right. He's like super excited for a Knifey, and she's like, trash.
He's like, okay, I know all this.
Yeah, and they're like, you want to take it? This is first grade now. So mm-hmm. now it's been, obviously she's adjusted well because we've gone from, the road trip was supposed to be before kindergarten actually started.
Yes.
They thought it would help ease her and calm mm-hmm. her. And then Knifey comes, it's the first day of first grade, and mm-hmm. I don't remember who went to school with her and is like, no, she made. You're not listening.
I think it was Jesse.
Was it Jesse?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really endearing when he, purposely, because Jesse's now sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he purposely gave Jesse the sheriff badge.
Yes.
Instead of, like, Bonnie just putting it on her. Like, he gave it to her. It's like, nope, you get to, you know, take care of the gang now.
Oh, Bonnie was putting the sheriff thing on. She was making him. And remember, and they would give it back to Woody when she goes to school or wherever she does?
Oh, yeah, Jesse would give it back to Woody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bonnie would put it on Jesse, and then Jesse would give it back to Woody. But this is at the end, Woody, like, just giving, like, he is giving it to Jesse and saying, I am saying, you, it's you now. Please do this. Like, you take care of her.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Do you think we could see a Toy Story 5?
This is where I may sound really contradictory. 4 was amazing. You didn't know you needed it. Then that's what I meant earlier. So just relax now that we've kind of like gone and delved into the movie. You didn't know you needed it, but it closed it out. It also, some of these voices, like, we've already lost a bunch. And obviously as we get older, people that were already adults are getting older. They're not going to be around forever.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I think, yeah, you opened it up where you got Knifey and Forky, and I think that'd be great to do some of like the terror one that you talked about before, the little like 30-minute, 45-minute shorts that they mm-hmm. put on Christmas, Halloween, stuff like that. I think it would be okay to do those here and there. Maybe, you know, Forky's adventures where like things he did, something like that. But overall, having a 5, I think that there's a point in time when a franchise just has to know when to say mm-hmm. that's it.
You want to leave before you ask to leave.
Right. And I think this is an emotional high. I think this is a financial high.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can do little, go do what other movies have done and do little shows on Netflix or, you know, like the little shows we've been given mm-hmm. around the holidays. But I just don't think a 5 is what I want to see.
Yeah. With Disney Plus coming, the franchise can still live on. It just doesn't have to be a movie. It could be like side stories, you know, what's going on, you know, follow the carnival, you know?
Sure. You know, have a couple little carnival stories. I don't know, maybe, you know, we didn't see much from when they were all hanging out in the, you know, other than like Unicorn, like you said, and that was hysterical when Unicorn screaming like, put him in jail. Like, I'd love to know like why Unicorn wants to throw her dad in jail. of course, you know, and or maybe like have more of a little short on like what the whole time that the essentially the RV's going haywire and like they're going stop, stop, like the police are chasing him and like Unicorn and all them are screwing it up. Like, I'd like to see more of their interactions of like Rex and Unicorn and everybody yelling each other to make this happen. Like, little things like that. But I definitely don't think there needs to be a five.
Yeah, I think they should, you know, call it quits. You know, Woody and Buzz are who we started with. Their story as mm-hmm. as a team has come to a close. I mean, you know, little peaks of the world here and there might be okay, but I think I think we're good. You know, in terms of Toy Story movies per se.
Mm-hmm. Oh, agree.
Awesome, it's awesome. So I hope everybody enjoyed Toy Story 4. If you haven't seen it and you listened, go out and see it. You know, it's worth it. It's an emotional ride. I tell you, for anybody who's seen all of the movies and grown up doing, you know, it's been, like I said, 24 years since the original came mm-hmm. out. So it's been a long time.
And there's tons and tons, if you just keep your eyes peeled around every corner, mm-hmm. different Easter eggs from other Toy Story movies, yeah. other Pixar movies. There's a Star Wars reference. It is really cool, and it's even small things, like the year the store was established, you know, the antique store was established in 86, which is the year Pixar established mm-hmm. itself. So they leave a lot in here.
Yeah, the A113, the Pizza Planet truck, which was, I believe, a tattoo,
which kind of makes you wonder, like, was that the Pizza Planet kid? Because remember the kid that used to deliver the pizzas all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and different things like that. I forget. The 10 toy that mm-hmm. I talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah, Tinny was in it.
Mm-hmm. He's in there, which is really, really cool. Kind of brings it full circle, basically.
And Duke Kaboom was a lot of fun. You know, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, he was. You know, we didn't talk about him.
Yeah, didn't talk about him much. We all had that, you know.
Fantastic.
We talked about this on Year in Pop because we just did 76, and that was when Evel Knievel was really at his height, and we had pullback toys or the ripcord toys like the Duke Kaboom in the movie. We had Evel Knievel where you were sending him going mm-hmm. over things and crashing, you know, pretending he was Caesar's Palace and breaking his neck and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, it was a welcome addition. You know, Duke stays behind, right? Also, he's one of the ones that stays.
He does stay with Bo Peep mm-hmm. and all of them, so.
So we could see further adventures with those guys, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, I could see little, like, adventures in the antique shop kind mm-hmm. of ordeal.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So I hope everybody enjoyed our review, but we're not done. We're giving you guys a bonus review. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about another sequel that was a long time in the making. We're going to talk, give our brief thoughts on Men in Black International. So, it's Andy, it's Miranda. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Two Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The PlaceNation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports. brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaySimation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaySimation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySimation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation. We're here. It's myself, Miranda, I almost forgot my own name, and Andy. Mm-hmm. We just gave you a wonderful, emotional, endearing review of Toy Story 4, if you listen to that. And if you paused and are skipping ahead because you haven't seen it yet, we're going to give you a rundown of Men in Black International, kind of as a bonus, because mm-hmm. it's something Andy and I actually wanted to do mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago, and logistically it didn't happen, but that's okay. Which, it was one of our summer movies as well. It's still part of our summer movies extravaganza review contest.
Yes, most people had it. In the lower parts, a mm-hmm. couple of people had it as their biggest bomb. I mean, it did not. A little teaser, it did not do well, but I don't think it's the biggest bomb.
I don't think it's the biggest bomb either.
But so, Miranda, before we talk about Men in Black International, what's going on in your neck of the woods of Place to Be Nation?
We actually, as everybody knows, we had to put Geek and Fasty on hold for just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then we got tired of having to put it on hold. The surgery that we talked about, I feel like, until I'm blue in the face, mm-hmm. Has not happened yet. So we have a nice little recap, if you are probably already finished with or in the middle of your Stranger Things Season 3 watch. We did a Season 2 recap with our good friend, Tim Cable, who was actually present for a Season 1 recap all those years ago that took place. Mm-hmm. So we did a Season 2 recap, and we gave theories and projections and ideas on Season 3. And Jenny and I are throwing some ideas back and forth on what we could possibly get accomplished in coming soon.
Yeah, I it's a fun listen. I listened to it, and you guys were tremendous help because I have a crappy memory. And it's been, almost a year and a half since Season 2?
Yeah, 2 years, because it was October 27th of 2017.
Yeah. So it was a great listen to, and I'm only one episode in so far on season 3.
I am about halfway into episode 4.
Okay.
So I'm halfway with that. I'm about halfway done.
Yeah, my daughter watched the first episode. We actually also started watching Mr. Iglesias on Netflix because it's an easy half an hour. I mean, we both love Fluffy.
Right.
But yeah, I'm so down for the Stranger Things. I mean, that first episode was so... so much fun. The evil mall basically putting the town out and all the us.
I'm mixed right now.
Yeah? I mean for me it was like it evoked so many memories.
No, that I can totally see. Mm-hmm. I can totally see. It's just overall comparing it to seasons 1 and 2.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean,
I'm not sure how I feel yet.
Okay. Yeah, I mean I have a bit to go. So
right.
So check out, for those of you who haven't started Stranger Things Season 3 yet, check out Geek and Sassy, the latest episode, because it will get you caught up. You guys did a tremendous job.
Thank you. Because we were all like, oh man, God, we're all over the place and forgetting crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens anyway. There's so much going on and with all those characters and everything.
Right.
Yeah, so in my neck of the woods, should be posting soon. We just recorded the latest episode of Year in Pop with my co-host, Mr. Scott Criscolo, and our guests, Dr. G, George Robledo, and J.R. Sunil D'Amato. We did the year 1976, so it was lots of fun with Rocky was one of the main, the big movie that year.
Oh, cool.
So that was our closer. We talked about The Muppet Show, because that debuted in 76. We talked about some sports, like the greatest NBA game ever played, they say, was that year in the playoffs. I believe it was Phoenix and the Celtics, I think, in the NBA Finals. Okay. Went triple overtime. The sports is Scott's department, even though I am a big sports guy. He handles the sports and the music, and I handle the movies and television for the most part for that show in terms of running the segments. And then coming up, I have the latest episode of Great Debate, which will have Scott Criscolo, Nick Duke, and Jordan Duncan as my guests. A variety of topics from sports and pop culture. And a new episode of Laughing Theater will be coming very soon with Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. He likes to call it his autobiography. So take a wild guess at what movie that could be. If anybody knows how John refers to himself. But I'm really looking forward to a one-on-one show with Mr. D'Amato. Great dude. Have had the pleasure of watching, sitting next to him at an NXT TakeOver. You've never heard one-liners like you wouldn't believe unless you sit next to John at a show. So, Miranda, what's the big thing going on here at Place of Nation right now, though?
That would be our 80s. Mm-hmm. Music.
We love the 80s. Yes, the greatest song of the 80s.
We do.
We're moving along. We're we're getting close to being halfway through the first round.
That's not easy. Like, oh my gosh.
They have 512 songs. We've all
so difficult.
Yes, there have been some tough matchups up there. I mean, people like all over social media. We got a retweet by Taylor Dane.
I know. I saw that. I shared, you know, when you posted the retreat, I shared it all in place. Mm-hmm. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yes. A big shout out to JT Rosero, who runs our Twitter. He adds the artist, I guess, in the matchups, and he added Taylor Dane, and Taylor Dane.
Smart, by the way.
Yeah.
So smart.
Responded, come on, Team Taylor. And Taylor Dane did win her first round matchup.
Yay.
Yeah, she, let's see, I'm trying to call that up.
Who was she against?
She was up against Gypsy by Fleetwood Mac.
Which is hard, so hard. I'm not even gonna lie, like, I voted for Gypsy.
I voted for Tell It to My Heart.
Right. I am such a Fleetwood Mac. Like, last year for Halloween, I actually dressed up as the White Witch herself.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is actually, we're recording this on the night of the 7th, and yeah. And because, you know, we're behind the scenes info here at Place of Nation on the tournament, we can actually go over the brackets for the 8th.
Yeah.
Although, who knows, we don't exactly know when this is posting, but we can give our votes on the brackets that are coming soon. So, so we're ending the Down Under region, which is the third of eight regions. So, you know, we've had Electric Avenue, we had Rio, we're in Down Under. After this will be Love Shack. So,
I'm kind of excited for Love Shack.
Yeah. I have to see what kind of matchups in there.
I haven't looked.
So. You like to be surprised.
I do. I mean, I sent the sheet, but I like to be surprised. Mm-hmm. What I will say for those voting at home, what is amazing is, especially when you are voting on Facebook, because you can vote via Facebook or Twitter. Mm-hmm. I just happened to chose Facebook. I know my co-host there, you can see, I can see, alluded to, she likes to vote on both.
She likes it both ways,
and,
huh?
And you are. You can. You are more than welcome to do that.
You can double dip.
You can. What I really love about Facebook is that in the comments to whatever is voting for are the links to mm-hmm. YouTube for one for each song. And sometimes it's really cool because you're like, do I know that song? Like, I don't know what that is. I can't vote for that. And you play it, you're like, I love this song! And it takes you back to, like, a memory or a time or a place. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, really cool to look at that. And it's also, like, the full music videos, like when music videos were still a thing mm-hmm. and like were becoming big. So it's just a really cool addition. I thought that I would let everyone know about. It should definitely be taking advantage
yes,
of it.
And that's on the Facebook page, you know. Mm-hmm. We do share the matchups to the Place We Nation Facebook page, and unfortunately mm-hmm. the comments don't travel. So if you want to get to those YouTube links, you have to go to the tournament page.
Super easy to click into, though. Mm-hmm. Like, super easy.
Yes. So let's go through the matchups for the 8th.
Okay.
We have Tenderness by General Public
oh.
versus Axel F. by by Harold Faltermeyer.
I think I'm going Tenderness.
Yeah, I love that song. You know, it's one of those like sneaky songs from the 80s that may actually go on a run because it's also been used in a lot of movies.
It has. It really has.
And the end of Clueless. I know.
Oh, my God, yes.
Over when the credits start. I mean, but Axel F is pretty iconic from Beverly Hills Cop. I mean, yeah. I see this being a very, very tight matchup. And as much as we both love Tenderness, Axel F might kind of come out on top.
It might. I'm not going to lie. But because there's been some where I voted. And when I voted, that song was winning. And then at the end of the day, I've gone back and looked. And
There's been
sad. Like,
there have been some knockouts. I mean, you know, Your Love got knocked out. Voices Carry, which my girlfriend Ellen was quite upset about because that is her favorite song of all time.
Which one was Ellen sad about?
Voices Carry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the 80s one-hit wonders may not make it through, you know, unfortunately, unless, like, you know, You're Coming, Eileen's or something like that. A few of those may go, but some of these other songs are, and, you know, and there have been some tough matchups. I mean, these are pretty much randomized matchups, so.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I know a lot of work went into this, and so thank you for that, but I would love to actually see a 90s one happen, too.
Well, they did do a 90s one.
Is that prior to me becoming part of Place Nation?
Yes, they did one. Okay. I wasn't part of Place Nation either, but I did participate on the website. I don't remember what song won, but I remember going there, and it was like right when I started, you know, getting interested in writing for the site. I think they were doing it. So
many options here, or something like this.
I know,
fantastic.
Oh yeah, the plan is for 4 tournaments a year.
Oh, cool.
So, and we're going to alternate. We're going to go, you know, a pop culture. We'll do a music. We'll do the next one's going to be a television related one.
Oh, and then, nice.
Okay. And then after that, we're going to do a sports one. So,
okay, here for those.
Mm-hmm. You're here. Okay. So our next matchup, Working for the Weekend by Loverboy versus Major Tom by Peter Schilling.
God, what are you doing to me?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Major Tom is a, you know, Earth be, but Working for the Weekend. I mean, that's cowbell.
I know. I loved them both as a kid. I remember, like, having my own little groove. But I think Working for the Weekend stands the test of time.
I mean, for me, you know, we have a radio station up here, which has changed so much over the years that I used to listen to. I think it was Z100 at the time. It's still Z100, but I think every Friday would be like the 5 o'clock whistle. And they always, you know, it's 5 o'clock, it's quitting time. Yeah. And then you would hear that.
And it did. You know, what's funny is it didn't matter. We had stations where I grew up, too. And, like, it didn't matter what kind of music they played. Like, that's what it was. If it was 5 o'clock, like, weekend time, like, that song came on.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then
country, like, Finally Friday. Mm-hmm. Like, those were the two that played when it was, yeah.
All right. Let's see. The next matchup is we'll Be Together by Sting. Versus Paradise City by Guns N' Roses.
Paradise City, no question.
Yeah. We'll Be Together is a great song, but Paradise City, you know, that slow beginning and then just picks up. I mean, that's, you know, all three Guns N' Roses. Oh, well, there's more than three Guns N' Roses songs, but the three from Appetite for Destruction, you know, are going to go far.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paradise City is going to win this in a walk. Let's see. Then we got Human Nature by Michael Jackson versus The Reflex by Duran Duran.
I think I'm going Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember that as a kid, loving that song. Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne versus You Belong to the City by Glenn Frey.
This one is no contest for me. Hands down, Ozzy all day.
Yep. All aboard! Yeah. Yeah, Crazy Train, you know, well, if it gets through this, it's going to have a tough toe to hold with...
To this day, that is played at Friday Night Football under the Friday Night Lights. Yes, every Friday in my hometown. Without question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Then we got our final matchup. We're going to talk about R.O.C.K. in the USA by John Mellencamp versus Beat It by Michael Jackson.
Beat It.
Yeah, Beat It. Down. So just imagine. Round 2 will be Crazy Train versus Beat It.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that's going to be tough.
Oh, man, that's tough.
You know,
that's the thing. These, like, it just gets really
We could see Paradise City versus The Reflex.
Paradise City.
And then Tenderness or Axel F versus Working for the Weekend by Loverboy.
I think that's when you go Working for the Weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we want to, you know, sneak peek to the Love Shack region, I mean, we got like stuff like Final Countdown coming versus Blue Monday.
Oh my God.
Who Can It Be Now versus, you know, Too Much Time on My Hands.
That could be a solid
second round matchup. Final Countdown versus Who Can It Be Now.
Oh my God, Brenda Carlisle's Mad About You. Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, lots of great songs coming up. You know,
Looks Like Kill by Motley Crue. You got some good. I mean, Mountain Music by Alabama. Oh my God, what are you guys doing to me? There's so many choices.
I know. So get those votes in. You know, it's going to be going for a while.
We've had some ties, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes. So basically, what happens is we check the Facebook results when the polls close, and then the Twitter, mm-hmm. And then we look at Twitter, and if it's, you know, contradictory, we add the votes up together for each one, and then the winner moves on. Now we've had twice. We've had ties. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what that happens then, we have a PTBN 80s song tournament committee, and we vote amongst ourselves. So we've had to, that's what got It's Tricky into the second round.
Yes.
And then.
Come on. I was going to break my heart if I didn't make it.
And then there was something else. Do you remember what the other one was that got, that went to the overtime?
I remember.
It was Give Me All Your Lovin' by ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Because it was the only time in the first round that two songs by the same artist matched up against themselves. Mm-hmm. So it was Legs versus Give Me All Your Lovin'.
Was it Greg that was like, it's the same song, man!
All right. So check out the 80s Song Tournament. Check out Geek and Sassy. Check out all my shows. Great debate. So, Miranda. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little Men in Black. So you were on Laughing Theater with me.
I was.
And we did do the original Men in Black to kind of get everybody prepared for this reboot and into the franchise. Now, we're not going to dance around. We're going to go full spoiler from the get-go because, mm-hmm. right. We're going to do a quickie review. And then, so... What did you think? I mean, when you first saw that it was going to be Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson, did you, were you like, oh, we've seen a lot of them already? We've seen, how are you when you see actors that, appear together in different movies? I mean, now comedy, it's different. When you see, like, the Burt Reynolds, Don DeLuise, that's different.
Right. But you expect them to be together.
But when you associate these two actors with the roles they've been playing with Thor and Valkyrie, mm-hmm. what were you like when you saw all this in terms of like their chemistry?
Well, honestly, when I see any actors that are going to work again together in something that's not like, back in the 90s, the 80s and 90s of comedy where everybody, you always work together basically. Or like, with Billy, when they did like, I almost said Billy Madison, but like Adam Sandler movies. When you mm-hmm. did Adam Sandler movies, it was always the same people over and over again on purpose. So I didn't mind that. So I think when you look at those people, though, sorry, I was being asked a question via hand signals. When you see people like that, I think it's more of like, how do they work together? And I felt they banter well. Mm-hmm. So I was excited to see what they could bring to the table in a different capacity. For her to possibly be a little less uptight, because at Valkyrie, I mean, there's a reason why she's uptight. She's a Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Thor to be a little less like, I don't know, Thor-y. I don't know. But like, I was excited to see it because they do banter well. They mm-hmm. seem to work well. And when you say on-screen chemistry, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, they have a love connection, but like how they flow well together.
Yeah.
So I thought that lent them to a possible, potential, successful run because they've worked together before. They know they can work together. They seem to be friends off screen from what I've read. So I thought it lent to a very possible great sequel, especially for people like me that have the Men in Black franchise is one of my favorite all time franchise / fandoms of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was hopeful. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. when you see them in a little different, you got to get used to like Tessa Thompson has had quite the range in everything she's done so far. I mean, between, you know, Valkyrie and then Westworld. And I didn't see it, but I understand that she's Creed's wife in Creed 2. So
I didn't watch it either, but yeah. Probably a prick.
Mm-hmm. So I thought she was fun. I mean, I was excited more about the supporting cast.
Yeah.
With Liam Neeson, who plays Agent High T, and then you have Emma Thompson as Agent O. And even though I didn't know his name at the time, Rafe Spall as Agent C. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought he was going to be the bad guy, you know, but they did a little.
I think we all did. Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
Because he was the main bad guy in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, mm-hmm. if you remember the actor. But yeah, they led you on. But I mean, it started becoming very apparent that who the real bad guy was in the movie. I mean, you kind of saw that coming from a mile away at one point.
It took me a minute because I'm like you. You know, they kind of like alluded that it was someone else. You knew it was someone, and yeah. knew it was going to be someone obvious. Mm-hmm. But I think who we all thought it was way too obvious, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of like shoved it in your face to the point where it was like, you know, no. You know, they kept talking about this great, you know, battle at the Eiffel Tower and this great, mm-hmm. you know, defeat, but they never really go into it. Like, what exactly happened?
They start the movie off with it, but it was kind of confusing at the same time, too, because it wasn't really explained.
Yeah, that was part of the movie's problem, too. It was, like, a little all over the place at times. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, and they telegraph stuff a lot. You know, when you saw that little alien in the beginning when, mm-hmm. You know, was it Molly? Is that her name?
And you knew something was going to come of that. They weren't going to not take that further.
Yeah, that's that old screenwriting adage that you can't, you know, if you show a gun in Act 1, you got to fire in Act 3.
Right.
Kind of thing. So you knew that was going to come back at some point. As soon as they saw that big creature at that boat on that island right there. I'm like, oh yeah, that's that little thing.
The minute he saw him, my husband leaned over and he was like, that's going to be the little monster.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that kind of coming too with that one. That was one I saw without question. There were a few things that I missed out on that my husband pointed out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang it, yes, how did I miss that? Like small things that like your brain just like glosses over it because you're familiar with it already. Like there's a scene when he's fighting that said, monster that he picks up a hammer the same way he picks up Thor's hammer.
Oh yeah.
And my husband was like, oh yeah, like the way he picked up the hammer. And I'm like, okay, so he picked up a hammer. And he's like, you're just so used to seeing him do that you didn't even realize it, did you? And I was like, ah, duh.
Yeah, they did something like that in the first X-Men movie. I don't know if you remember the first X-Men movie when Toad played by Ray Park picks up like a staff kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He's like, don't you people die? And he flips it around, and he does it the same way that he did as Darth Maul in Phantom Menace. So if you ever go back and watch the first X-Men movie again, it's towards the end of the movie at the Statue of Liberty fight.
Okay.
You know, you'll see that. So, yeah, I've seen that, something like that before. I didn't catch that either, by the way, the whole hammer thing.
Yeah.
So props to Jerry.
In the little shack there, and he's fighting her little friend, her little, I can't think of that alien's name right now.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But he's fighting Molly's alien from the very beginning. Vungus. Was it Vungus? No, that's yeah. one of the, no.
No?
No, Vungus is one of the, like, the bad guys that they, when they go down through, like, the shops.
Oh, that's right.
Vungus mm-hmm. is all part of that. I'm sure it'll come to me in a minute, or I'll find it on IMDb. Mm-hmm. But the little alien that turns into the big boss alien that is Molly's basically friend. She mm-hmm. helps keep him safe, and she doesn't get zapped when she's a kid.
Yes.
Her parents get nebulized, and she does not. And so she grows up her whole life, basically. And the whole first part of the movie where she's like, she basically looks crazy because she's been selected by like the FBI, the CIA, the everybody you can think of. Like, this girl is smart and she is resilient. And she basically makes it into like the FBI, the CIA, the who else did they have her sitting and talking to? Like, pretty much any agency like that where it's all acronyms for our government, right?
CIA.
And she's like, no, I want to be the other. And she's like winking and like trying. She's making a fool out of herself, basically, but she doesn't realize that. And she's like, no, you know, it takes care of the people from up there. And they're looking at her like, oh, she is cuckoo. Like, jacket, bedroom. But it's because she knows that MIB is real. She doesn't know what it's called. So, I mean, I applaud her hustle. I've been saying that a lot here lately. I applaud their hustle. But I truly applauded her hustle with making her way into MIB the way she did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She showed chutzpah. As a,
right, there was a chutzpah.
Chutzpah. But, yeah, what did you think now for you? Did Pawnee steal the movie for you?
Pawnee made the movie.
Yes. Pawnee.
Pawnee was great.
Pawnee made this from like being like a D to maybe a C in my terms.
Well, I honestly, I gave it a B for giving it alphabetic ratings there. But Pawnee, here's the thing though. Everybody was like, well, they needed less Pawnee. If they had less Pawnee, there'd been no movie. Or here's the thing. Every Men in Black movie has had some sort of talking something that played a huge part. And you got the worms, you've got the dog, you've got, you know, any of those. The Pawnee was needed because you didn't have the worm or the dogs again. But his banter that adds into what Tessa and Chris have together is just hysterical. And honestly, because there was a preview that came on before Men in Black for Batista's new movie, Stuber.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy that is the Uber driver in Stuber is the voice.
Kumail Nanjiani.
It makes you want to see his movie even more.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it made me want to see Stuber even more, like, just to be honest. Like, when I finished watching Men in Black.
Yeah, Stuber is one of those, though, that could be, like, you know, on those discount movie days.
My son really wants to see it, and it is rated R, so I'm thinking, based on everything I've read about it, it may be his first rated R movie.
Yeah, it was probably R for language.
Right, so this may be his first rated R. Well, and I could be wrong, but I could sworn it said it was rated R, but... yeah, Pawnee was the best. He made it. I was mad at myself for not catching on to some things beforehand. Like you said, the movie has some plot holes. At times I felt that things were rushed, and as a lifelong fan, I was disappointed at certain parts. But then I was also mad at myself because they made something so obvious and I completely missed it. Like we were talking, the fight at the Eiffel Tower. It's just how it was like, it's the same phrase, and I wish so sad that they use the same phrase over and over again, and I can't remember it now, but like, they keep using it like to the T, the same phrase. And why I didn't pick up on that. I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of like, you know, you knew about the what was the name of the bad guy? It was trying to remember. From the scum of the universe. That's right. Protecting from the scum of the universe. But it was the let's see. I'm trying to.
Are you talking about the very beginning, the monster they're supposed to be protecting?
The Hive, that was it. You know,
the Hive, yeah, the Hive. And so, Vungus was the one that he gives Molly the essentially like the way to take down the Hive.
Yeah.
And says, I can't trust H anymore, or something's different with H. So between that phrase and then H kept using the same line over and over again. I should have gathered that he'd been nebulized.
Yeah.
But I did not. Like, I'm not even going to try to pretend that I was like, oh, I'm super smart. I got it all. No, I somehow totally missed that. I was so mad at myself. The minute I realized it was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. It was there laid out in front of me like the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, they never really talk about it, about high tea, you know, about memories and all that stuff. Yeah, you,
right.
Yeah, you saw, you know, as soon as they're like, oh, there's a leak inside, it's got to be at the top. You know,
right.
It wasn't going to be Emma Thompson.
They did something that made you think it was high tea, like right then.
Yeah.
When he's like, you go downstairs, but then they're like, nah, it's C. And so honestly, I thought it was C. Until I was like, huh, that is way too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Just way too obvious.
So what other, you know, things can we chat about this movie? I mean, I kind of like, I love, you know, I'm a big fan of location hopping, you know, mm-hmm. in movies.
Yes, I did like that a lot.
You know, I like the locales. I mean, I thought
Oh, for sure.
Those are always a lot of fun. You know, again, we weren't big fans of the title, Men in Black International.
No, because, I mean, I think that we've talked about this on the pod that we did together in general, is that, like, I think it's an understanding, yes, it's international. Like, they've always been, like, you kind of knew when you were watching the regular Men in Blacks that there had to be a unit in other parts of the world. Like, it's intergalactic, really. So that frustrated me a little bit, but I understand better why they chose international. Even if I still stand by, I don't think it was the best choice of title.
So do you, based on the performance and how this movie did, do you think we're done with Men in Black?
No, I think they'll give it a second go. Mm-hmm. I hope they listen to feedback because Pawnee, especially if you're going to add Pawnee back in there again, or even if you don't, Tessa and Chris do a great job together. So having H&M, and clearly she's staying. She's going to be part of that international group, not just the American group. But H&M and Pawnee work well together. Emma Thompson does really good as Agent O.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, T is gone. A huge part of my problem with that is he was supposed to be such a father to H.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really isn't. It's like, oh, like, that's the pothole part. That's the left behind part that, I'm not trying to not spoil it. The problem is I don't really have a way to explain it because it's like,
oh no, we're full of spoilers.
I know. So I'm not trying to not, people are probably like, she's stuttering because she doesn't want to spoil it. Like, no, like, that's the problem with that section of the movie is that it was like, oh, you were like a father to me. Really? Like, that's, are you kidding me? We're waiting. Like, he kind of alludes to it here and there, but it wasn't enough of a sentimental grasp. Like when you got in Men in Black 3, when it turned everything all the way around full circle and you realized everything as a whole. Like, it didn't do that. It didn't grab you in the way that somebody was supposed to be your father would, it would affect you. So that kind of, that writing or that plot holes left or that can be refixed. Luca was the little guy. I could see Luca coming back into play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's potential for that there as well.
Well, and Risa. Risa, Rebecca Ferguson.
Oh, yeah. From fiance, girlfriend, whatever that he left. By the way, she is a beautiful woman. I mean, not that she wasn't pretty as that alien, but, like, they really downplayed how pretty Rebecca Ferguson is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was great in the last Mission Impossible. Last couple. Mm-hmm. She's been in the last couple of Mission Impossibles, actually.
She has, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I would like to see if they could continue this a second time. I liked being back in the universe. I liked seeing the different aliens, because there were new aliens. Mm-hmm. The little one that she touched, like the play on Tribbles, basically, where they like went everywhere. the homage to J&K in Heike's office.
The picture, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. There were other little things like that that played homage. My son, though, had a huge complaint when the movie ended.
Okay.
I did really like, cause you and I were talking about that, classic, when we watched the original, we did our live watch and we were talking, we actually even said something about the font. They kept it and they kept like the blacks, you know, star background, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning and the end. His complaint was that would have been a perfect opportunity to have interjected Will Smith's Men in Black song back into the back into the fold. He said he understood why they weren't in the movie, but he said that would have been perfect to have put Will Smith's "Because We Are the Men in Black" song back, or even have asked him to redo a new one.
Yeah, they could have done an updated version.
Right, an updated version of the Men in Black song. But he was like, he's like they ruined it. He's like, they had perfect opportunity and they didn't take it. And this is, he's 13 now, but like, this is a 13-year-old being like, they have plenty of, this is perfect. Like, right here is where it could have gone. Like, it was neat. He felt like it was needed.
Yeah. I needed to keep the franchise going. I mean,
right.
You know, because, you know, like we talked about earlier with Toy Story 4, I mean, you heard You Got a Friend in Me in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no, you know, it keeps the through line of the franchise.
Right. Brings it to, like, full circle, into fruition kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they definitely left the door open. I'd be okay if they did another one, but they need to tie up some things and, like, get a... Maybe it was rushed. I don't know. I've been trying to do some research. At the same time, I don't want to get mad. And again, maybe my hope of these movies withstanding the test of time just isn't possible.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're too B-rate. Because they were. They were kind of like on the end of that whole B-rate thing that we were doing in the 90s, mm-hmm. still.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're too much of that for this generation, and nothing against them, but you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's just not what current day needs. So I guess time will tell. I'll watch it again when it comes out where I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd give this another shot, like when it hits like Netflix or whatever, just to maybe, you know, I was taken out of the moment by like some plot holes and I kind of... That's what sucks too, is when there's like a script issues that kind of takes you out of the movie and you kind of like will maybe miss some positives.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's our little basic little review of Men in Black International.
You didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. I gave it like maybe a C in the C range. I mean, it wasn't like the worst movie I've seen, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. But by far it was not, you know, yeah, it was down there. I mean, looking at the summer movie wager, I mean, it's doing, actually I just had it up with what it's done so far. I believe according to IMDb, the budget was $110 million. Okay. It's done almost $67 million domestically. Worldwide gross
$200 million. Which is what matters for mm-hmm. our thing.
And as of June 30th, It did $220 million worldwide. So I mean, it's going to recoup its money. It's going to be considered, you know, on the positive side of the ledger. But, you know, I mean, let's kind of look like, you know, I had it at number 9. Russell had number 9. Scott didn't even have it on his list. Jenny had it as a wild card. Miranda, you had it at 7, that's kind of high.
I did, but it was my faith in the mm-hmm. in the franchise and my love of the franchise that kind of had it up there, and that may be what you makes or breaks mm-hmm. me, honestly.
Yeah.
It may be.
Andrew and Greg had it as their bombs. Jason had it at number 9. Nick had it at a wild card, and Todd had it. He didn't even have it on his list. Yeah, I mean, I don't exactly. I haven't looked at the standings on where it is right now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I lost my number 10 because your bird movie got moved.
I'm sorry. Everybody keeps asking me. Like, they ask me on Geeking Sassy too. They're like, "What happened, Miranda?" I'm like, "Stop asking me. I don't know."
It's not a bird movie. Yes. But it comes out in April.
Hate me so much when I make them watch it.
I look forward to it. I'm going to go see it anyway. So
I am, because, like I said, that's a book series that mm-hmm. I've always really loved and enjoyed. And trying to explain it does sound like way far fetched. I sound like Agent M being like, you know, from up there. Like, when I'm explaining it, I know that's what I sound like. It's okay. I get it. But, yeah. Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I think everybody should see Men in Black. Maybe you wait till it comes out on TV. Again, I know I said this for Toy Story, but a lot of Easter eggs again. Nebulizers, noisy crickets, mention of the red button. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
the noisy crickets.
You do see Frank the pug briefly. You do see the worms briefly, but...
Yeah, they had to show them. I mean, that I would love if they invented that cool-ass train to get you from New York to London in minutes. Jesus.
Right? I even actually commented and said that would make it a great addition, like over in the corner where the Men in Black ride is at Universal, if you, like, added some sort of, like, roller coaster version of that over there. Don't get rid of the current ride, because that ride is, like, amazing. You and I have had this discussion before. But, like, if they added over in that corner somewhere, maybe that addition to kind of, like, update the whole... Men in Black franchise, that would be cool. It would be a cool roller coaster, like a bullet train coaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Hit me up, Universal.
Awesome, awesome.
I got ideas.
Yes, yes. Miranda got ideas. It's momsandnerd.com. Awesome. Well, as always, I thank you, Miranda, for joining me on a Pop Goes the Movies. You know, this is this is all of our shows. You know, there's not one host. You know, John and Scott did an awesome job with Rocket Man. They have. Hopefully, they're going to be able to do Yesterday as an upcoming episode. Plus, you know, hopefully, we should have a Spider-Man Far From Home episode coming soon.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to doing The Lion King. Probably when that comes out.
If I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's try to get as many of these damn things in before Miranda's on the sideline for a little while. We know you're not.
I still think there's a group of PlaceView Nation that is like waiting for me. It's okay.
Yeah, and then we got Hobbs and Shaw coming. We know Jenny won't do that one.
No, she won't. Miranda might.
And we got Crawl. That's up Jenny's alley.
That is definitely.
All right, I know Scott might go see that one. Now we got other stuff like The Kitchen. I don't know if I'm going to do 47 Meters Down Uncaged. I saw the first 47 Meters. Yeah.
I remember only kind of hearing about the first 47 Meters. I did watch it. So, yeah, there's some in there that I really would like to see. And I've challenged our group, and I challenge you again because I know we all listen to each other, support each other. Like, please, 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 I have your respective names written down next to pods you'd like to record to finish out these summer wager movies. And before we announce the winner and see who does or does not have to watch the It's Not a Bird movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's tentatively scheduled for 2 weeks after Labor Day. For the record,
we are almost there. Like, sadly, like,
it's sad. We're 60 days today. We're 60 days away from the start of the NFL season.
Yes.
As much as I love football, you know, you live in the South. You don't know what cold weather is. You know, I hate the cold weather.
But I didn't grow here. Like, I'm not from. Like, yeah. Yes, I'm from the South originally, but like, I'm from the part of the South where we actually have seasons. Mm-hmm. Where I live now, no, it's just the devil's armpit. Like, or his crotch. I'm not sure. It's pretty damn hot. But no, where I grew up on the Tennessee Kentucky line, it is the South, I understand. But like, we get snow. Like, we know what that powder stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So down here, they don't freak out. But then my husband's from Chicago originally. So obviously, I've been to like Thanksgiving and stuff in Chicago. That's colder than, well, where I'm from, we call it colder than a well digger's ass.
Oh. Yeah, we, It gets cold up here in Connecticut, so trust me, it's not fun. But anyway,
looking forward to it.
No,
cold.
God, no, I hate cold. I hate cold. Believe me.
I will treat.
Yeah, okay, I'm done. Anyway, so on that note, I want to say thank you everybody for joining us for this episode of Pop Goes the Movies, and we'll catch you on the next one. All right, take care, everybody.
Chocolate. Fucking chocolate.
Oh God.